Hello, this is Dean Gocher. I'm founder and director of the Institution for Authority Research. I encourage you to trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, that He's the one who directs your paths. This program is about a process I call diapraxis. It's simply the practice of a heresiarchal paradigm, the foundation for the New World Order. There's different ways of thinking. God says, my ways are not your ways, neither your thoughts my thoughts. As far as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So we find in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, God's way of thinking. We are to trust in Him with all our heart. Now, the second part of Proverbs 3, 5 is lean not to your own understanding. That's Genesis 3, 1 through 6, where we lean to our own understanding. That's our heresiarchal paradigm. So God is a patriarchal paradigm, a top-down, above, below, and a heresiarchal is change. You've heard the word change recently? Well, it's a heresiarchal paradigm. Karl Marx summed this up in his Feuerbach thesis number 11. The philosophers have all interpreted the world in many different ways. The objective, however, is to change it, is to practice change, in other words. Now, he's doing trickery here. He said the philosophers. Now, philosophy begins when you're not happy with the way things are. In other words, you might have been doing something in the past, and now it becomes boring or interferes with what you want to do now. And so you start to think of something different. That actually happens when you're doing your homework. It gets boring, and you start daydreaming. It's all this imagination. Nothing's impossible with man. You know, just imagine or create in your mind, and then go out and do it. And so now the philosophers all interpreted, now that's the key, the world, in that every ideal and every truth, according to Marx, must be treated as an opinion. And so everybody has their opinion. So when you come in with God's word, you're going to be treated as, well, that's just your opinion. And so because of these quote-unquote opinions, then we have isolation and alienation from one another. In other words, I'm right and you're wrong, and we have these pre-established rules. And this, according to Marx, was the cause of nationalism and division in the world. So the objective then is to practice the dialectical process, to do what Eve did, the woman did, in the garden in Eden with Satan facilitating. Was to evaluate the current setting, to do situation ethics, values clarification, to find what in the environment triggered your desire to relate with it, and therein overcome any obstacle that prevented that relationship from taking place. In other words, anything that prevented unity had to be identified, neutralized, marginalized, and removed. Now, last week, I had finished up on one quote by Eric Fromm. Fromm, who was used by Bloom in his taxonomy. Every teacher in your community certified off of Bloom's taxonomies. Curriculum development is what it's all about. The curriculum or the method used in the classroom will determine the paradigm or the way the next generation will think. And Bloom's taxonomy is a classifying of different paradigms with the intent of moving everybody in the classroom to a synthesis evaluation level. Other words, to do the heresiarchal paradigm. How to identify the lower order thinking, the patriarchal paradigm with knowing and comprehending. Go into the matriarchal transitional paradigm of application. You got to experiment a little bit, do what you feel like doing, and then evaluate whether it really worked or not. And then try to merge that with others, find what's common with others in what you find common with yourself, and eventually evaluate that we're all one, we all have the same desires, we all have the same particular behaviors that we want. And if we can identify ourselves in the community and the community in us, then we can do all the group one. Anybody who comes in and says, like Jesus said, I've not come to bring peace but a sword, I'm going to divide the father from the son, the mother from the daughter, the mother-in-law from the daughter-in-law. And that all, by the way, also includes the community, that there is truth above man, that every one of us accountable before God, individually, before Him. On the day of judgment, no group great. And so that way of thinking has to be annihilated, as Marx says, once the earthly family that teaches our children right from wrong, chastening, is God's secret. He teaches us right from wrong, chastens us. That he says that system must be annihilated, washed off the face of the earth, washed out of the brains of everyone. And the only way we can do it is to make sure we have facilitated meetings, practice consensus, have diversity, and dialogue. Because according to Jürgen Habermas, if you come in with a categorical imperative, in other words, it is written, as Jesus stated in the Temptations, and I can get you into dialogue, you just lost your religious foundation. You cannot keep your religious foundation other than with preaching and teaching. That's what Jesus did. He spoke with authority. But if I can get you into dialogue, you just move from a religious to a philosophical paradigm. Now your opinion is involved. That's all Satan did with Eve. Got her to share her opinion and moved her from religion to philosophy. I think, I feel. And then by evaluating the environment, determining what's right and wrong. And from, again, that Bloom uses, he says, all that matters in his book Escape from Freedom is that the opportunity for genuine activity be restored to the individual. In other words, genuine activity meaning doing what you feel like doing. You know, if it feels good, just do it. I'm okay, you're okay. That be restored to the children. That would be restored to the workers in the workplace. In other words, you own a company, you have to allow your employees to discover for themselves how they feel and think things should be done. That the purpose of society, the collective, the team, the group, and of the individual become identical. See, that's humanism. That's not, you know, if you look at law, that's the difference between civic law and common law. Common law is individual. It's self-evident. Every individual can, you don't need to get together with a group and discover it. It's self-evident. But civil law is Babylonian. It is collective. It is of the creation. And it rejects the creator. And that was the Roman law. That's our social law today. We've rejected common law. And that's where you get inalienable rights. We've gone to civil law, which is human rights. Now, human rights are lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. See, and so there is the battle line, folks. It's the understanding of the paradigms. Then, it explained a little bit more about Erich Fromm. Broner, in his book of critical theory and its theorists about the Frankfurt School, he writes in regards to Erich Fromm. He says, in fact, it is probably fair to say that Erich Fromm's Marxist concept of man, that was a book by Fromm, introduced the young Marx to America and provided the dominant interpretation of this thinker for the students of the New Left. Now, this was in the 60s. The Democratic Party went into a full-blown transformational Marxist dialectical process. Fromm gave the humanitarian idealists and romantic proponents of the New Left a Marx they could love. Now, what that was all about was that Fromm was a member of the Frankfurt School who had merged Sigmund Freud with Karl Marx. And by doing so, they gave Marxism a quote-unquote human face. They gave him compassion and caring because the history of Marxism was brutal. Traditional hardline Marxists said, you know, if you don't quote Marx or if you speak contrary to what Marx said, you get the oughts and oughtas and is and should and might and could, and let's all find what we have in common. Let's think social. But you come in and say, this is my land and not, remember that's the patriarchal language, not, 2 plus 2 is 4, cannot be any other number. You can eat of all of these trees. You cannot eat of that tree. If you bring in the cannot, must not, thou shalt not, the traditional Marxists would shoot you. Now, the idea was to create a healthy environment for the sake of the next generation. Because if there were unhealthy elements in the environment, then the next generation would see them and might replicate them. So the best thing is to only give them perception. See, if Eve had seen God while she was looking at the tree, notice she saw the tree. If God had shown up, she would have had a problem, but God wasn't around. And so if you can remove a patriarchal perception from community, then the next generation wouldn't have that as a reference, and they would only have the community as a reference. The village then would raise not only the child, but raise everybody. So it'd be village think, group think. And so the traditional Marxists, like the French Revolution, just said, kill all the traditionalists. Excuse me, the transformationalists. Let me get this right. The traditionalists would say, kill the traditionalists in the patriarchal, not the traditionalists in the dialectical. And this is why the transformationalists called the traditional Marxists traditionalists. In other words, they were still hung up on this right, wrong, black, white, sheep, goats, heaven, hell, although they weren't, they were dialectical. But in their mindset, they had set rules. In other words, there was positivism, and which meant there were established rules. And Max Horkheimer, member of the Frankfurt School, and Adorno and others were all about negative dialectics. In other words, let's just practice the system itself and not even follow after rules that we might discover from it, because those rules might change. So anyway, Fromm gave this transformational Marxist idea of Marx, this young Marx, before he tried to, by the way, he tried to get the system work, he never could. And he became rigid in his effort. And so that's why they went to the young Marx, the Hegelian Marx. Now, Bronner continues. He says, the central problem of democracy is not the discovery of some optimum solution or standard for ranking incommensurate values. In other words, it isn't that we can come up with, if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C, if we come up with formulas. That's not the central problem of democracy. He said, the central problem of democracy is instead the formation of a somewhat vaguely defined post-conventional consensus through which everyone affected by a decision must be able to participate in reaching it. So the agenda is, how can we create a facilitated environment where everybody can willingly participate in what I would say the building of the noose to hang themselves? See? And how, if we can get everybody in the village to come to a consensus, a willing participation through a sensuous need to touch the tree, and a sense perception from only the information that's appropriate to the process being brought into the room, inappropriate information being excluded, which would be any information that was not tenement to the immediate sensuous need of the time. If we can create that environment, we can negate the patriarchal paradigm from policy making in the community and in the home and in the workplace, everywhere you turn. And we would have a world free of godly restraint. So he's saying that the central problem of democracy is instead the formation, the creating of a meeting, and classroom included, of somewhat vaguely defined post-conventional consensus. In other words, the outcome has to be the process. Then, if we look at Kenneth Manet's comment in Human Relations and Curriculum Change, he says, changing a group atmosphere, in other words, how the group determines or sets policy, from autocratic, that would be to him a patriarchal paradigm, in other words, God's paradigm, towards democratic, that would be Satan's paradigm, through a democratic leadership means that the autocratic followers must shift, that's where we get the paradigm shift, towards a genuine activity, in other words, they have to willingly participate, of the role of democratic followers. In other words, they have to be willing to let their feelings guide them. No longer the parent standards or God's standards or the Constitution standards, but the feelings of themselves in identification with the feelings of others, see? Then he writes, it is of utmost importance that the trainer of democratic leadership, in other words, the facilitator, establish and hold his position of leadership. It's important. You have to have the facilitator in the room. If you can get him out of the room, how do you get the devil out of the room? He is role-playing the devil. Every minister, you can call yourself a man of the Word of God, you facilitate, that's Satan's paradigm. God does not, has not, never will facilitate. That means to make change easy, to make change built on the flesh. God does not make change built on the flesh. He changes your heart of flesh by the work of the Son and the Holy Spirit through His word, contrition. See, contrition, brokenness. That's not easy. A facilitator is all about seduce, deceive, and manipulate. That's the only tools of his art craft. And he can do it in Jesus' name. That's why Jesus said to those who do great things in his name, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, you facilitator, you deceiver. You deceived yourself and you deceived the others because you came up with a new Christ, a user-friendly, non-offensive, readily adaptable to change Christ, a humanist Christ. There's no such thing before God as a Christian humanist, a Christian Satanist. I've had friends hang up on me and say, well, you know, you just called my minister of the devil. How dare you? And they call back 3 months later and say, you're absolutely right, because they understood the process. We're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. See, the church today is ignorant of Satan's devices. No, not really. They're using it. They're ignorant that it is Satan's device. Then they're calling it of God. They're marketing the gospel. You can't market the gospel. How do you market suffering? How do you market dying to yourself daily? And so he's saying it's important you keep the facilitator in there. You know, and what he's going to do is he's going to make sure there's enough people in the room that feel good. Well, they can participate in the Bible study. They don't really love God. They haven't died to themselves, but they love this feeling of participation, participatory democracy. Everybody can have input. And therefore, we have unity in the body, and you quote the Word of God, and then you hurt their feelings, and then, well, the facilitator is going to let the room attack you, and then come to your aid and say, oh, we need to all get along. But, you know, there are some people who are just, you know, they're not thinkers. They just go too far. You know, and I've shared this in a couple of meetings, you know, where I've had ministers come and I would start talking about the flesh, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes of pride of life. And I would start talking about this feelings, this oughta, shoulda, mighta, coulda. And these so-called ministers, successful ministers in their community, they will say, well, you just gone too far. You know, Jesus just went too far when he called the scribes and Pharisees wolves in sheepskin and hypocrites because they did so many good things, even in Jesus, not in Jesus' name, but in God's name then. They did the same pattern. Why are they so skilled and have so many followers? Because they're skilled in human relationship building. How do you feel and what do you think? Jesus didn't ask anybody for their opinion. He asked Peter, who do you say that I am? Remember Dragnet, just the facts, ma'am? Who am I? And he says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter's response was not from Peter, it was from God. And Jesus said, this didn't come from you, Peter, it came from my Father. See, because the Father speaks the truth. See, what my Father says, that's what I do. He who does my Father's will is my brother, sister, mother. And that's the foundation of the true church. And these so-called ministers out there are wolves in sheepskin because they're all concerned about human relationship building. Will not mean a thing on the day of judgment. Zilch. Zero. It is your walk in Christ and your preaching and teaching of the Word of God, which brings people under conviction to contrition. It's the law of God, which is perfect, and it converts the soul. It cannot save us. It just tells us we need a Savior, and then there's mercy and grace revealed through the Word of God. And you preach and teach the Word as the Lord leads. Man doesn't live by bread alone. Ministers, you're trying to live by the security that the flock can give you. You're feeding off of the sheep of God for your own vanity's sake. Because if you were truly a man of God, you would be preaching and teaching the Word of God. And then you would have believers. And those who came in that were not believers, they would either be converted or they would leave because you're dealing with their souls. But now you're dealing with their flesh because you got to get the church full of all kinds of entertainment and get that thump, thump, thump going. So you get their heartbeat going. So you get the eros going. And so you build the church on flesh. And you do it in Jesus' name. That's apostasy. And what is Jesus, what is the Lord going to do to those who use his bride as a prostitute? They're pimping from the pulpit. That's what a pimp does. A pimp finds the oughta, shoulda, mighta, coulda from the subjects they want to use and the subjects they want to gain money from. And they bring the two together on the oughta, shoulda, mighta, coulda. I ought to have this. And the woman says, I ought to have that. And the guy says, I ought to have this. And then he brings the two together and he gets a little profit from both of them. That's what pimps do. And so ministers are pimping from the pulpit, making sure everybody feels good. They're getting a little dopamine here and a little dopamine there, and it's all done in the name of Jesus, and they call it the church. It's an apostate church. You know, what is the Lord going to do with those who prostitute his bride? Better they were never born. That's a dialectical process. What harmony is Christ with Belial? How can you use Satan's system in the church? How can you use synergy? That's the dialectical process. That's all Satan was doing, is a release of energy, you know, empowerment. We can all be at one, at one-ment with the tree of knowledge, good and evil. We can be thinkers. We can take polls and surveys. That's what you're doing, the tree of knowledge, good and evil. You can do feasibility studies. That's all the devil. Oh, man, you just gone too far. You know, tell that to God on the day of judgment. Oh, you just gone too far. You just need to read the Word of God for what it says. Quit reading what you think and feel it says. Read what it says. In a democratic process, deviation is welcomed. In other words, you've got to have the deviant. See, when you bring in the law of God, it sort of takes care of deviancy. But now we go grace and mercy, and we leave out the law of God, and now you can bring the deviant in. And he said, so Kenneth Bonet, Human Relations and Curriculum Change, by the way, came out of the First National Training Lab in Bethel, Maine, 1947. That's where it was started. This book published in 1950. There are now 10 Marxist federally funded training camps in the United States, and Church Growth Emergent Church is built from the work done by these men in the 40s and 50s. And they're saying you must have deviancy in the room. That's why you have to have the diverse group. Yeah. Now, the deviant person today, dialectically, the deviant is always the believer. It's always the remnant are the deviant in a democratic process. But in the democratic process, the deviant, in other words, the person who's perverse, is welcomed as a possible source of improvement in common ways of thinking and acting. It's a common way of thinking and acting. He's doing the dialectical process. Satan was a deviant. He was getting Eve to practice deviancy. And Adam and every soul who follows to practice deviating means just to skew a little bit, to be a little different. Be yourself. Be who you are. You know, let your feelings out. Let the child within out. Am I against pleasure? No. Is God against pleasure? No. Is God against money? No. Is God against you taking a vacation? No. He's not against you in your personality. What he is for is that you would be subject to him in all things. You're not against your child having a fun day, but when you tell your child to go to bed, he's going to have to learn self-control and self-discipline, that he has an office. He's accountable to a higher authority. That self within him is accountable to him. Now, Irvin Laszlo, in his book, A Strategy for the Future, A Systems Approach to World Order, Irvin Laszlo, who is the man who set up the Rio Conference and the Club of Rome and came out of Princeton, and he's written lots of books on the environmental issues. You know, the sky is falling mentality. He laid out how much energy the sun puts out and how much the earth absorbs from that's put out by the sun, and then how much waste is produced. And he's the one who, you know, all about the ozone and the environmental problems. And he's all in the data, Here's a guy who is considered as God by men like Al Gore, men who set policy in our nation and want us to follow his path, his dialectical, heresiarchical path, and Irvin Laszlo's belief. This is his goal. This is the purpose of his material. That is now where our government is, and the governments of the world are building on. The world's population is to be 500 million people. That's not some right-wing extremist out there making that statement. That's the environmentalists making that statement. We got to get rid of billions of people if we're going to have a healthy earth. Welcome to the health program in this nation and around the world, i.e. through the UN. You know, destroy the immune system. It's called, non-lethal weapon. No, so here's Irvin Laszlo's solution, strategy for the future. He says we must bypass the traditional channels of top-down decision-making. Our government is making policy off of this man's ideology, and you have to bypass, see, traditional channels of top-down decision-making. You got to bypass the constitutional republic. You got to have presidents who set up executive orders, make treaties with foreign nations that supersede the Constitution of the United States of America, and therefore we have tyranny at the top. See, if you use the office for yourself, what can I get out of this for me? The use of dopamine, the respect of men, and you go national, that's a tyrant in high office. I write about this in Identification of Paradigms on my website, authorityresearch.com. So he said, we have to bypass. That's all Eve was doing, was bypassing. She wasn't saying, well, God, you're wrong, because that would be a right-wrong paradigm. She was just saying, God, what you said is irrelevant. The Constitution is irrelevant in a rapidly changing world. The voice of the parent is irrelevant in a rapidly changing community. The voice of the traditional teacher is irrelevant in a rapidly changing world. Do you understand? It's the paradigms. It's all about the paradigms. So he says, our objective centers upon transforming public opinion. We got to change people's opinions into an effective instrument of global politics, other words, we've got to get everybody on the same page. How do you feel? What do you think? And consensus and dialogue and with a facilitator. That's a Soviet system, by the way. When I saw Goals 2000, over 20 years ago, I had taken already prior to that classes on the Soviet system from one professor earned his doctorate degree out of Harvard in communist Yugoslavia. And when I saw Goals 2000, I watched TV for a couple of weeks and I started saying, we can't be this stupid. That was over 20 years ago. We can't be this stupid. That's a Soviet system. You ever been in a church, a Bible study, and you have a facilitator, and you're going, I feel and I think, and you have a diverse group, and you're dialoguing, and you're coming to a consensus, that's a Soviet system. You know, don't you ever want to grab people and shake them? You can't. Because it's spiritual. They have eyes and cannot see and ears they cannot hear, because as Mark said, we must have eyes that are human eyes and ears that are human ears. We got to ask people how they feel and what they think, ask them about their opinions, and then create a global policy from that, church policy from that, work policy from that, home policy from that, and practice a Soviet system every part of our country. You worry, ever worry? People don't even worry today about us becoming a communist nation. You don't have to worry. We are a communist nation. We have leadership that are full-blown, not just off on the margin, you know, sort of, full-blown Marxist. Full-blown, folks. We are a communist nation. There are believers who are actually having to hide in America, protect their children in fear, finding hiding places. This is America. It's not America anymore. Not the land of the free and the brave. Not anymore. It's the land of gimme, 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 wanna, shoulda, mighta, coulda, how do you feel, what do you think? Under the control of Satan's paradigm with the Antichrist. Now, our leadership is an Antichrist, but if you want to understand how the Antichrist can enter into the temple, this is the same pattern. This is just a pilot project. Individuals, you know, any liberal, any enlightened Christian listening to this, they're going to go bonkers because they can't think. See, I've read their books. That's why liberals come to meetings. They get mad at me because when I know they're present sometimes, I've given up on that because you can't change them. You know, they're intoxicated. They're drunk. You know, they're blind. You know, they say, oh, you're narrow-minded. I've read their books. I've read your books. But you haven't read mine. Not with everything you read has to be through dialectical lens, a neo-Marxist lens. You can't read anything with a clear conscience, because if you do, you would be converted. And you'd realize how wicked and depraved you are and what you're promoting. Well, we'll continue on the other side of these messages.